Hi, welcome. This is the first installment of what will be known as the That's So Money podcast. I'm Jeff Munn. We have a lot to get to on this very first podcast, but I need to step back for a moment and talk a little bit about how we came up with the name and things like that. And frankly, none of this was anything that I was deeply involved in because I'm not that kind of creative type of thinker. Our friend Eric Sorensen at sportsaz360.com was the guy that came up with the idea for the name of the podcast, the opening, everything that goes into it, because he's much more creative than I am. That's just the way it works. So that's where we came up with the name. And if I didn't say the web address right, sports360az.com. Here's I want to talk a little bit about the podcast is this, and I don't do things a lot of times with scripts. This podcast, I hope, will be kind of a free-flowing stream of ideas off the top of my head. And I realize that part of what will make this work is that you find it entertaining and you'll have a reason to come to this podcast on a weekly basis. If you don't, then I'm just talking into thin air, which I do most of the time here at home, and I'm recording this from my house most of the time anyway. So I'm going to do the best I can to make this worth your while. And I do appreciate you checking it out initially here at sports360az.com. That's the baseline for what we're going to do. I'm going to try to make this as issue-oriented as possible, topical. We'll talk about the news of the day, and we'll try to keep it local because I'm a Phoenix native. I have my roots here. And I have a working base of history of things that go on. And that's where we're going to start today with the news that came out yesterday. And I'm taping this on Wednesday, November the 6th, that Steve Patterson was leaving his post as director of athletics at Arizona State, or more appropriately, vice president for university athletics. That's been the title, really, the last two people that have held the post. But he was leaving to take the AD job at Texas. And let me just start by saying, first of all, I was not shocked at the news and not upset. Any of us who have attended a college or a high school or both, unless we've just had a terrible experience, have a real emotional tie to those places. Steve Patterson's a graduate of Texas, got a law degree there. He's spent most of his life in the state of Texas in a variety of capacities in sports. And so there's quite a pull to home. And even when if you take the money out of the equation, and yeah, I mean, they offered him more money. But if you take all these things, especially the emotional tie to the state of Texas and the fact that he was an alum from UT, it makes it very logical for him to make a move like this. A lot of people have been trying the last couple of days to assess his legacy at Arizona State, and it's really hard to have a legacy when you've only been in the job roughly about 18 months. But I will say this, he did have an impact in this regard. I've really been impressed, especially in recent months, with the marketing approach to ASU athletics. And one area, and there was one event in particular that really jumped out at me, and it was a basketball scrimmage that was held about a month ago at Wells Fargo Arena. Friday night and the night before a home football game, they drew 3,000 people for this scrimmage, and it was early October, and you're not even really at a point when you're talking about getting people excited in a lot of traditional basketball places about basketball at that point on the calendar. And ASU drew 3,000 people, and roughly about half of them were students. It was a phenomenal turnout by students. And I think one of the things that Steve and his assistants have really done a good job of is reach out to the students and make them feel like they should have a huge investment in what goes on with these teams. Student attendance at football games, going all the way back to the Sacramento State game this year, the opener, has been up. And they've been very forceful and a real positive influence on the atmosphere inside Sun Devil Stadium. And I anticipate that it's going to be much the same for men's basketball and hopefully for women's basketball, too, this year. And all the other sports that are really most in the public eye, baseball included. Now, that has to start with the approach from a marketing standpoint. And I give Steve and his staff a great deal of credit for the work that they put in to get the students back involved in what was going on at ASU. Yes, it is very important to market to the community, to sponsors and what have you, but it is a university, and the students are the most important part of the university. So I think Steve deserves a tremendous amount of credit for that. The other thing is just the overall look and the feel to ASU athletics, the rebranding with the pitchfork. And I'm one of those old guys that I was a little uncomfortable at first, admittedly, with the pitchfork. But now I see that there's just an incredible rebranding that's going on. And Steve deserves a lot of credit for that. There was a renewed emphasis on just reaching out and connecting with the community, especially those who buy the tickets and sit in the seats. People at, and I noticed this particularly at basketball games because they do the women's basketball games on radio, that everybody connected with the athletic department during games would have a name tag. And they did. I do know that ASU participated in training, and a lot of corporations do this, from the Disney people about how to improve customer service. And I think that was one of the byproducts of it, was just putting name tags on so that people could identify people who work in the athletic department. A little thing, perhaps, but another indication that, Steve really understood that marketing was very important. So I give him high marks in that regard. It's really hard to gauge the impact otherwise. He was involved in the hiring of Todd Graham, but had not really made any other significant hires other than the new softball coach. And that's not his fault. He just wasn't on the job long enough to have that that issue. Now, moving forward, and I'm on looking at the Sports 360 AZ website right now, and I'm reading Brad Sesmat's blog, and he brings up something that I was intrigued by. And when I heard that Steve was leaving, this got my attention. I thought about this a little bit, and I even floated it talking to my 17-year-old son about this. Brian Colangelo as the next AD at Arizona State. It's an intriguing idea. Now, I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen because I'm not close enough to know. But it's intriguing from this standpoint. Dr. Michael Crow, who deserves a lot of credit, too, for his out-of-the-box thinking in terms of hiring an athletic director, has been very much on the forefront of recognizing that you need somebody with business acumen to run an athletic department in the year 2013. And I'm going to stop right there. If you think about it, you remember the way the AD post used to be filled in college athletics. A lot of times they would have the football coach double as the athletic director. In fact, if for those long-term Sun Devils, you might remember long-time Sun Devils. You might remember when John Cooper was hired as football coach, Dick Tamburo was the athletic director, and then Tamburo resigned. And there was a period of time where there was an interim athletic director, and some felt that maybe John Cooper would be a good candidate to take over as the AD. He had been the AD and the football coach at Tulsa. Now, obviously, that didn't come to fruition. Charles Harris was hired as the athletic director. But there were a lot of instances of that in the 70s and 80s. Joe Paterno, for a long time, was not only the football coach at Penn State, he was also the athletic director. Barry Alvarez at Wisconsin first started as the football coach of the Badgers, then became the AD and held both jobs. And you'll remember last year when Brent Bielema left to go to Arkansas prior to the Rose Bowl, Alvarez came out of the athletic director's office and took over for that one game against Stanford as the football coach. But we're way past that, really, in this day and age in major college athletics, and especially in Tempe, where you are in competition with pro sports teams for the entertainment dollar. So when Brad posted that today, I thought, you know, I had that thought yesterday, too. Now, do I think that could happen? I just don't. I don't know if it can happen. Brian, of course, left the Toronto Raptors at the end of last season. I'm not really sure what he's doing at the moment, but I'm certain he's staying close to something basketball related. Do I think he would be good at it? Yeah, I do think he would be good at it. If it came to that, yeah, I think Brian Colangelo would do a terrific job because he knows marketing. He is dynamic, aggressive, and you know his roots are in Arizona, obviously. Be interesting to see what will happen in that regard. But I was I'm really glad that Brad brought that up in his blog today because actually he wrote it yesterday. Because I do agree that it could be very much a good fit situation for ASU if it got to that point. I do think that Michael Crow will do something out of the box in terms of filling the post. There are a couple of really good in-house candidates, but Dr. Crow has demonstrated that he's going to go for someone with a strong business acumen. And really, again, and it should be noted that in the initial stages of the Steve Patterson regime in Arizona State, his approach was working. So there's plenty of reason to go that route again with a replacement for Steve Patterson as the athletic director. You might have heard my phone go off. See, this is one of the great things about podcasts. You get natural sound. A couple other things that we can touch on very quickly on this week's podcast, and we'll do this podcast weekly. I watched Grand Canyon's exhibition opener on television last Friday night, and as somebody who does enjoy watching the marketing aspect of sports, I'm really going to be curious to see how this develops for Grand Canyon with Dan Marley, the move to Division I, and the Western Athletic Conference. They had a sellout crowd at a very nice arena. Their on-campus arena is fabulous. And it was a very exciting game with the University of San Diego, or UC San Diego more specifically. It will be really interesting. Their president, Brian Mueller, who's a very dynamic guy, has predicted sellout crowds most of the year. And it will be interesting to see if they're able to sustain that, because even if they win, everybody knows they're not eligible for postseason for the first 4 years. And that's really going to be an interesting case study in how fans respond. We've known in this market for a long time, and one of the first guys to really state it out loud was Jerry Colangelo, who obviously is a special assistant to the president, that in this market, in order to have strong attendance, you have to win. Grand Canyon could win. Dan Marley's a very good coach. They have a dynamic atmosphere inside that arena, and while that roster is in transition, Dan could very well produce a team that wins more than it loses. But will fans respond to a team like that, knowing that even if they were to go undefeated, they can't play for a national championship for 4 years? I hope they do respond, but at the same time, it's going to be really interesting to watch and see how the market does embrace Grand Canyon. Do I think that they'll drain resources or fans from ASU? No, I don't, because I think it's two completely different entities, and Arizona State has several advantages that Grand Canyon does not have. They play in a more recognizable conference. They have a better television broadcast overall situation, and they have much deeper roots in this community. While Grand Canyon's been very successful in basketball for a long time, you don't think of things right off the top of your head about their program. While those of us who may have paid close attention over the years would recognize that, you know, names like Ben Lindsay and Baird Forrest, the casual fan doesn't. And they don't really recognize maybe that much about Arizona State men's basketball either because of the inconsistency of success in the program over the years. But it is Arizona State University, a much larger on-campus enrollment, and as I say, deeper roots in the community. So I don't really think, I don't think it's competition between the two schools. I think they can both be very successful, one on the west side of the valley, the other on the east side, and I don't think it'll turn into a battle between the two of them for fans. That's all our time for this week. Gosh, we used up 15 minutes really quick. Well, almost. We've almost used 15 minutes. I don't want to get into any more subjects because I probably don't have enough time to really delve into anything too deep. But suffice to say that this podcast, as we move along, and we'll update this weekly, and this time of year I travel a bit with ASU women's basketball, so we'll do it from time to time on the road. We'll delve into things that are of interest to me. I hope, of interest to you. And one of the other things I hope to talk about it from time to time on this podcast is delve into a little bit of my memories of growing up as a kid here in Phoenix. I understand that not many of you are natives like I am, and there's a history to this community that you may not be aware of. I'll always try to make it interesting to you, not just me rambling on and on about when I was a kid, et cetera, et cetera. But I do hope that we have a chance to kind of tell you a few stories about what Phoenix was like many years ago, and especially related to sports. I was telling that story about John Cooper. There's a history to sports in this community, and it's untapped because so much of what has really been impactful in sports in Phoenix has occurred in the last 25 years. There's a lot of interesting little stories that remain off the radar, and maybe we'll have some time to tell those stories to you. In the meantime, I appreciate you tuning in. You can catch the weekly podcast right here at this website, and this website happens to be sports360az.com. Next week, I will be on the road in San Diego with ASU women's basketball. That's probably where this podcast will originate from. And so till next week, appreciate you checking on us and continue to check out this website because there's a lot of good material. Check out that blog post from Brad about Brian Colangelo, too. I'll talk to you next week. Thanks for tuning in.